Scripture reading for this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms. We are reading from chapter 95, beginning verse 1. We'll be reading responsively. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to rock for our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, the heights of mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Our Gospel scripture reading for today is found in the New Testament book of Matthew. We are reading from chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.
Then he will say to those on the left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared from the devil and his angels. For I was thirsty, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they answer, will saying, Lord, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will all go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. This is the gospel word of the Lord.
Did they do a great job? Thank you, Bill. My honor to introduce now Pastor Fred Cressman. Fred used to be at the Log Church up in Cross Lake. Our paths cross through Malawi channels. And I'm just going to pass on the microphone to you. It's on, and it's hot, so just leave it on. So.
As I weave my way through. So, well, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. And do we have a PowerPoint by chance? What was that? If not, it's fine. So we can. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. So it is such a joy to be with you all this morning. And we love being able to be back here at Emmanuel, and I told Pastor Paul when I came in, that's our spot on this side, because the first time we came, we sat over here, and every time we've come, we've sat over here, and that's a rule, right, in the church, so, and it's just been fun to be here and to hear the songs and the chimers this morning. That was great. One of my previous churches, we had chimes, and so that brought back a lot of memories as we were doing that. So this morning, I'm going to share a few brief thoughts about the message today, and then I'm going to invite my wife Cindy to come up, and Cindy's going to share a little bit about our work. But since 2016, Cindy and I have been working full-time in Malawi, Africa, and that's been a common connection for Paul and I and for this church with Cindy and I, is our common heart and passion for the nation of Malawi. But what I want to emphasize this morning is this process. There's an actual process that's laid out in this passage, and it's see, do, and love. And what we see in this passage, it's actually not an easy passage, by the way, to look at. It's very confrontive. It can be very disturbing and stirring for us. We are used to hearing this passage, and those are some of the most dangerous passages in the Bible for us to encounter. These are the ones that we're so used to hearing that sometimes we don't listen to them anymore, and they don't impact us. So I pray that today God will open our hearts anew to this passage of Scripture, and that it will stir our hearts to a deeper level of intimacy with God and a deeper level of compassion for others. So one of the first things I want to mention, and we can go to that next slide, is that word to see. And in this passage, you'll notice that he asks both those that are on his right and on his left, both the sheep and the goats, both those that are welcomed into his presence and those who are cast out of his presence, he confronts them with the same dilemma. And they both ask God Almighty at the judgment seat, they ask him the same question, when did we see you? And in some ways, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, this is really the dilemma of this story of the Good Samaritan as well, is because you have priests and Levites, they came and saw the man who was laying on the side of the road, but you also have the Samaritan who saw the man on the side of the road, but the end result was very, very different. And so there's an element to seeing that's more than just the visual part. And for us, that happened to us on our first trip to Malawi. So there's a pretty big story to us getting to Malawi, and I am not going to share that story today because then we would lose track of our time. But suffice it to say that God in his sovereignty gave us the opportunity to first go to Malawi in 2013. And it was in that trip to Malawi that we first began to see, we're not only with our eyes, but with our hearts, the people of Malawi. To see both their plight and their pain and their difficulty and their suffering, but also to see their beauty, to see their resilience, to see their courage, to see their hope. And it was actually on their trip back from Malawi, we were sitting on the plane thinking about all that we had experienced, and I just began to weep. And Cindy leaned next to me and said, why are you crying? And I said, I just can't get the pictures of those kids out of my head. Because God had, by his grace, given me the privilege and the joy of seeing them. And seeing doesn't begin with the eyes, it begins with the heart. And it begins not with going to a place like Malawi, but it begins when God encounters us. It begins when we come to know him and give our hearts and our lives to him, and he changes and transforms our hearts. And it's as we have that transformed hearts that then out of that flows the love of God, and we're able to see other people. We're able to see their concerns and their hearts and their heartbreaks and who they are. We're able to see people as created in the image of God and a being of sacred value and worth. And that's how we love others. It's what Jesus says when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And one of the things that happened when we first got to Malawi is we met a brother and sister, prince and princess. We've shared a little bit of this story, I think, in past visits here to this church. But this actually is Prince on the screen. And They were just kids in the neighborhood. He and his sister, they were just wandering. They looked, that's kind of what Prince looked like when we first met him, he and his sister. And they would just wander all day long. They'd wander. And so we started asking questions. Where do they live? Where are their parents? And nobody really knew where they went or where they belonged. In fact, these kids would wander all day long. And then when it came to night, even in the evening hours, they were on the streets just going back and forth. Sometimes they would actually fall asleep on the street, and neighbors would take them and pick them up and put them into the house. And we just, for some reason, we just were attracted to these kids. And we started to see them and ask the questions and got involved in their lives. And God was able to give us the privilege to be a part of helping them. We got to know their mom and the circumstances there. We were able to help them to get into school and to give them food and to help them. And now they're in the school that our organization runs in Malawi. They are doing well. They're succeeding in school, and they're progressing very, very well. But it begins by seeing, really seeing into the heart of somebody. And to see, we really, there's many ways that we have to do that, but we have to approach other people with humbleness, to know that we don't know the whole story. We don't know what's going on. We just know that here's a person that we're drawn to and that has a deep need, and we want to be a part of helping them. And we also have to have that sense of openness. It's not about us, but it's about them. It's not about what this act of kindness is doing for us or this intervention is doing for us, but what is it doing for the other person? And we have to have that sense of surrender, surrendering ourselves to whatever God would ask us to do. And that's a commitment all of us are called to make as disciples of Jesus Christ, is to lay down our rights, to lay down our agendas, to lay down our will, so that we can pray as we pray all the time in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And so we have to be able to see, but seeing always, when we see through the eyes of God, when we see through the eyes of compassion, when we see with a transformed heart, it always leads us to action. And this is the difference you see in this verse. Those that were on his left, those that were not transformed by the power of God, when they saw, they only saw themselves. They didn't see others. And they weren't drawn to action. They were only drawn to themselves. And so when the power of God transforms us, he gives us not only eyes to see, but a desire to act. And so we can move to the next slide. And so we make a decision to do something. And this is actually a quote that's become very meaningful over the last 4 years that we've been able to spend in Malawi by Mark Galli. When we participate in the sufferings of Christ on behalf of the poor, the lost, and the vulnerable, we bodily express in some way the beauty of Christ on the cross. And it's just simply to say it's worth it, because it was worth it to God. You know, because God sees us, amen? And he enters in. And he calls us to see others and to enter in. And that's what he calls us to do and to be and to do something. We don't always do the right thing. We don't always do the perfect thing. But when we do it out of love, God does something with it. And so we always want to see that occur. And so there's this process of seeing others through the eyes of Christ, of being his hands and feet, of doing something, of taking some action. And when we first went to Malawi, this was the realization I had, is that I felt like I was in the story of the Good Samaritan. And I saw that man who had been bruised and broken and laying on the side of the road, and I had a decision to make. We had a decision to make. Will we simply walk past, or will we stop and do something? And we ended up in Malawi because we said we have to do something. What we do isn't always the right thing. And we have learned a lot in our time in Malawi. But we have decided that it's much better to try and to seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And because when we try, when we seek to offer ourselves to be the hands and feet of Jesus, he transforms those efforts by his glory. And he does something glorious with it. And so we do, we see, we do, and then out of that comes this heart of love. And of course, we have this sense of calling from God that we're to do everything out of love. And that's why Jesus says, whenever you do this unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And it's an amazing this passage that Jesus is telling us, God Almighty is telling us that he identifies with the lost, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the imprisoned, the abandoned, the sojourner, the foreigner. That's where his heart is. And that he wants to stir in up in us a compassion, a sense of love for others. This is why we ended up in Malawi. This is why we continue to serve in Malawi. We're far from perfect people, but we just want to be able to wake up each morning and say, Lord, not my will, but yours. And let us in some way serve you this day by serving those you care about and those you love. So I'm going to invite now Cindy to come, and she's going to share a little bit more specifically about the work that we do in Malawi. Slide.
Okay. All right. In Malawi, the organization that we are working in collaboration with, that we have formed over there, working in collaboration with Reach Global, we formed an organization called Community Impact Malawi. And if we go on to the next one, what we do within that organization is really a threefold job. The first is to make disciples who make disciples. And in the previous slide, the young people that were in that that slide, that's a big part of what we do. We come alongside young people, we disciple them, do life with them. Just really try to help them to see the purpose that God has for them in their life, and so that they become, they grow in their faith, they grow closer to Christ, and they go out therefore and make disciples. It's definitely a multiplication effect is what we're after. Number two, to grow and develop transformational leaders, we do that both through our work with the young people, the 15 to 25 year olds, but also Fred does a lot of training with pastors, rural village pastors going out doing trainings. Most of them have a heart for God, but absolutely no education. So he'll go out, do training with them, and really just try to help them to understand God's word. A lot of them, some of them aren't even literate, so it's definitely an oral thing. Some of them do read. Read in Chichewa, some of them read in English as well. There's a few. But he does a lot with that. I have been working most recently in the school in the Long Way in Kaliaka Township and working with the teachers. My background is education, so as we develop our teachers in our school, our goal is to help them to understand that teaching is a calling and that it's not, you're not just teaching the intellectual part of a child, but that it's many faceted when we come along children and we're raising them up and educating them. And so therefore it's those leaders, the teachers, the pastors, the young people, they're all the people that we have targeted to try to come alongside and help them to grow and develop in their relationship with Christ and in their profession. And then a new, but also it was in more in the future, now it's more coming up more in the nearer future, is to launch church planting movements of healthy, life-giving churches. Well, one thing that we found there is that there are a lot of churches in Malawi, lots. And what they lack in direction and sound doctrine, they make up for with passion, for sure. I mean, they kind of put us to shame in the U.S. You know, the way that they love God is just very all-encompassing in their life, but yet they do miss that piece of, you know, being sound and being in the Word and grounded. And so that's our goal, is that ultimately ultimately, if we're going to impact a culture, we have to do it through the heart and the soul and not through the mind. And so we're trying to develop a transformational church network so that these churches can grow and then again multiply. You know, we're eventually trying to work ourselves out of a job, trying to raise up leaders that will then raise up other leaders, and pretty soon they're operating on their own and we don't need to be there. So we can go to the next slide. And so our greatest needs right now are people who will pray, who will just really commit to come alongside us, to actually see the people, whether they're in front of you or whether they're across the ocean on another continent, to just see them. Like Fred was talking about, we have a colleague over there who met with a group of women from South Africa and said, you know, and she just, it was a forum setting. She opened it up and she said, all right, you guys can ask me anything. And usually when you say things like that, they ask you the funniest questions like ever, you know, like things like, well, where do you buy your groceries? Or, you know, they just have very obscure questions. And there was a woman who stood up and she looked at our friend and she said, does anyone in the U.S. really see us? And that we weren't prepared for, you know, because how do you answer that? You know, when they're living the life that they're living and we're living the life that we're living and they ask, do you even see us? It becomes obvious by a lot of our actions that we don't. We don't see, we don't, you know, I was very convicted. And so therefore, you know, in order for us to have the eyes that see, like the scripture was talking about today, we have to be people of prayer. You know, we have to just really ask God to open our eyes and to be the people of prayer that he's calling us to be, to really see the needs around us, whether it's next door, across the street, around the world. You know, literally, there are a lot of ways where we have our blinders on and we just go through our life. And especially it's easy to do that right now because our life is so small. I mean, it keeps shrinking, doesn't it? Pretty soon our life is our bathroom and our bedroom and our living room and our kitchen. That's it. And so we just really have to pray that God will give us the eyes and the eyes to see and then the heart to respond. Another need that we have as a ministry is people who are willing to give. We came back to the U.S. with the intention of being here about 6 months-ish. We were going to get some additional training and do some additional fundraising, things like that. And then COVID. And so here we are. And the country has now opened up. Malawi has now opened up. And we are able to get back in legally and within with our visas and things like that. With our passports, we can get into the country. But we still have to become, still have to raise full support to return. And so we are really looking for people who are willing to just sacrificially see and then do something about it, give to come alongside us. We need monthly partners who will say, yes, I will support you every month. It might not be a lot, but it's what I can do. And then when you write out that check or you send in that donation, that's a way that God says, you saw and you were obedient and I bless you. And so we just want to encourage people, if you feel that, if God nudges you, you know, we would love to visit about that. And then we need people to join our team because we are launching this church planting movement. We really need people there are people who are willing to say, here I am, send me. And not just for a week, but maybe for 3 years, maybe for 2 years. Maybe I have a gift that I can share and go over and train a group of people, and then they can make a living from that. But it's going to take more than a week or two, and I'm willing to invest that amount of time. And so we're looking for a team of people that we can do ministry with there, and then the more of us there are, the more people we can impact, and then the more people they can impact, and we can raise up a new generation and change culture. We can go to the next. Is there another or no? Yeah, there we go. So how can I help? Becoming monthly financial partners, which is what we have already talked about, joining our prayer team. This is the www.communityimpactmalawi.org is a website that is specifically of the work that we have that we are doing and continue to do over in Malawi. And so we would invite you to just go there, just browse around on it. You'll see pictures. You'll see our vision, our plans, our prayers, our hopes. It's all there. And so we just really encourage you to go to that website and just then let God, go there with open eyes, go there willing to see and see what God does in your heart. He has a way of using pictures, words, people, experiences to really impact us and to cause us to see and then to become obedient and to change. So is that awesome? Yeah. So we just really do appreciate you guys. We appreciate your coming alongside us and partnering with us. We are continuing to do the work that we have done in Malawi. We're continuing to fund it while we're here. But as most of you know, especially during this time where we start doing things virtually and, all of that, it's not as effective as in person, right? I mean, everything from school to church to, everything, it's just, there's a disconnect. So we are anxious to get back there and to continue with the people actually engaging and interacting with